This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Virginia Prescott. Earlier this week, we heard about the Audies, the so-called Oscars of audiobooks. Today, a look at Documenta, frequently referred to as the Olympics of the art world. It's a colossally sized exhibit of art that takes place every 5 years in multiple indoor and outdoor venues throughout Kassel, Germany. We were anxious to know more about what makes Kassel more Olympic in stature than the Whitney or the Venice Biennial, or more the place to be seen than Basel. So we got in touch with Blake Gopnik, art critic for Newsweek and The Daily Beast. He visited Documenta 13 earlier this month and joins us now with more on the zenith of art shows. Blake, thanks so much for joining us.
A real pleasure, Virginia.
So, all right, can you describe it in a thumbnail as much as 100 days worth of art and 200 artists can be placed into a thumbnail?
Boy, that's tricky. This is the biggest ever Documenta, and I was there. I thought I'd have a sort of generous amount of time to see the whole thing in 4 days, and by the end of it, even with the help of a bicycle, I was pretty overwhelmed. Luckily, there was lots of good art to look at, so it felt like it was worth all of the riding around and running around and trying to get through this massive list of projects and artists and all sorts of things, including some physics experiments which were being presented as art. So there was everything under the sun at Documenta.
It's pretty dizzying.
It's absolutely dizzying, even for an art critic, you know, even for someone who makes a living only looking at art. I was still pretty exhausted by the end of it, but it was worth it. It was it led to happiness, since that's the subject of conversation on your program.
Did it? Tell me more. I mean, I'm seeing photographs, fantastic photographs of some of the work, that is some of it going back to what looks like Bronze Age and some of it looking very, very contemporary. Is that what it is? Is it a span?
You know, that's not normally what you go to Documenta for. Normally, it's all about contemporary art. But this curator of this edition, who's an American called Carolyn Christoph Bakargiev, decided to have a bigger span of art. And that's one of the things that made it so good. There was some sense of connection between all the artworks. I mean, one of the weird things about this Documenta is that it didn't have a single thread that united it all. Mm-hmm. Usually, they try to have some kind of an argument in it. And that can be kind of overwhelming. But this time, it just felt like an amazing, kind of intuitive collection of works of art that somehow or other all held together.
And tell us about some of them. It looks like a lot of outdoor installations, a lot of very, very large-scale installations, which I guess is possible in an industrial town or with industrial buildings.
Yeah, I mean, well, one of the genius moments in this Documenta is that they decided to use actually a beautiful, non-industrial, 18th-century aristocratic park that's sort of pretty much in the center of Kassel, and they filled it with 54 little sheds and installations. So you got to wander around one of the most beautiful parks I've ever seen and take in the art. So even the art you didn't much like, you didn't feel resentful towards it because you had had such a nice time getting there. One of the nice pieces in that part of Documenta was a clock, a giant clock, the kind of thing you might see on a street corner or in a train station, except it had been skewed. It had been sort of crushed and distorted by the artist who made it. And it was a very strange moment of seeing something that looks like it came out of Photoshop, seeing that live as a real object. And that's the kind of skew moments that you got in Documenta this time that made it exciting. It had a relationship to things we care about, to things in the world, but there was often some little moment that made it different and interesting.
I'm looking at a photograph here from pictures cut out from Five Decades of Life magazine by Geoffrey Farmer. It's called Leaves of Grass. Just a fantastic assemblage of things when you put it in one certain place. And I'm wondering, why is it so important for the art world? Why is it called the Olympics? Is the work for sale? What happens here?
The work is most definitely not for sale, which is one of the reasons it matters more than other shows. There's no nasty ulterior motive in any of this. This is all and only about art. And, you know, in an art world where the market seems to rule more than it ever has before, somehow or other, this Documenta managed to feel like it wasn't just a bunch of fancy baubles for rich people. It really felt as though there was something at stake in artistic terms. And that's one of the reasons it matters so much. Another reason Documenta always matters is because the curator has 5 years to prepare for the thing. And I don't know of any other big show like this where the curator can really sink their teeth into a really international spread of art. I mean, the curator has the chance and has the funding from the government, various levels of government over in Germany, to go around the world and find the best artists that he or she can find. And that makes it matter a whole lot. And mostly, as with all these things, it's about tradition. Because Documenta has been good in the past, it acquired a reputation It's famous for choosing the artists, the movements that will matter in, 10 years later.
Mm.
And that's probably what matters most about it. I mean, if you're an artist and you've gotten into a documentary, that really can be, if you're lucky, the apogee of your career. It really can make your entire career.
In one of the video reports from Documenta that you filed for the Daily Beast, you talk about the decision to showcase unsellable art. Now, what do you mean by unsellable? That sounds like it'd make it quite a risk for a gallery or an exhibition.
Well, I mean, the commercial galleries are only involved at a very, very hands-off. Some of them may help fund the making of these objects, but they're not involved in choosing them or anything like that. And there's nothing at stake, in a way, at Documenta, except having the best art, the most impressive art, the most important art that you can get. So there's no reason not to have a work of performance art that happens for 10 hours every single day for 100 days mm-hmm. by a fabulous artist called Tino Segal, really one of the most moving moments I've ever had in any kind of art exhibition. No reason why not to give over an entire abandoned house to Theaster Gates, an artist from Chicago, and have him turn it into a kind of a weird, I don't know what you call it, a clubhouse, where a bunch of his colleagues, collaborators, actually are sleeping for a chunk of the time. There's no reason not to do ambitious things, and that's why they get made, why they get done.
Well, we need to wrap, but I'm just wondering how the average person, who might go to museums every now and again, but not really keyed into the comings and goings of contemporary art, how can they connect to an event like Documenta?
You know what? I think all they have to do is, obviously, going there would be great, but just Google it up, and there's just a ton of really interesting art. And the great thing about the kind of art you get at Documenta is that it's like nothing else you've ever seen. And unless you're awfully jaded, the moment to have your eyes open to something completely new, is about one of the best moments you can have.
I'm so glad to hear you, Blake Gopnik, an art critic, not jaded a bit.
Thank you, Virginia.
Thanks so much for joining us today.
Take care.
Blake Gopnik, arts and design critic for The Daily Beast. We posted links to his articles and videos of some of the amazing, truly amazing looking work at Documenta at wordofmouthradio.org. Truly art for art's sake. Coming up now, Love and Fatigue in America, an Englishman's autobiographical novel of a journey across the United States, slowed down to a snail's pace by chronic fatigue syndrome. That's when Word of Mouth continues in just a moment.